Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Hello. All you Psychic Funhousers, welcome to another amazing show. It's Friday, August 26th. This is your co-host, Michael Espinoza, and I am here with my lovely co-host, Laurence Birch. Hello, Mr. Birch.
Well, hello, Michael. Hello, my Dory fans. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Yeah. We're so excited you're here.
I know.
As I am.
Nice. Well, it's nice to finally go somewhere where I'm appreciated. You know what I mean?
I do. It's always nice to be appreciated. We appreciate you.
I know. That's why I keep coming back week after week after week. Speaking of weeks, how was your week, Michael, Mr. Psychic to the Stars?
It was good. Oh, my God. My birthday is in October, so I'm pranic healing or arhatic yoga. We follow we follow the cycles according to the
Sounds like should we do charades? Would that help? Oh, you can't see me. I guess that won't help.
I think we're gonna have to do that. I can't believe I just forgot. Right before my birthday, your birthday is a cycle in which we get rid of things. It's time to let things go, cleaning out. And so, it's a challenging period. Yeah. What?
You purge.
Purging too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this year has proven to be very challenging. I'm in that period right now. And
more so than other years?
Yeah. It's Kabbalistic. There they are, the Kabbalistic cycles.
Going up the Kabbalah tree.
So it's been tough. And so it's kind of like everything has been converging to hit in this week. So, So I just take a deep breath and put one foot in front of the other. I'm like, okay, stay focused and let's move forward. That's it.
So you mentioned you've gotten back into regularly meditating, right? That must be helping with things, I would think.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that because that also comes to mind. And I know it's the guide for life, but if you didn't meditate, this would be much more challenging than it is. So, thank you, guides. Thank you, and thank you to my teacher. Yep. Yeah. So do you find that for yourself? Is it challenging?
Is what challenging?
Sorry, the period, I guess, time before your birthday?
You mean more so than other days? Well, I don't know. I guess I'd have to think about it. You know, I'm pretty much challenged every day. So, I don't know, it's my birthday month. I'm lucky I can get up and, you know, tie my shoelaces correctly and not trip over myself. But, you know, I guess what I would say if I had a pattern is it seems to go somewhat seasonally, you know. I definitely noticed during the winter, and it's probably a light thing or, you know, weather thing, I tend to get more introspective and even a little depressed if I'm not careful and don't stay active. But right now I'm in a really good place. I can tell my barometer for how I know I'm in a happy place is I like listening to more music more often. Like I stop listening to the news, you know, I stop doom scrolling on my phone and I start just listening to music because I want to support the mood that I'm in that's optimistic and positive and happy. So when that starts going away, then I know I'm back in a cycle of like, uh-oh, storm and drawn or gloom and doom. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, with the, whatchamacallit, the news cycle right now, it's just horrible. It's just such awful news.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to change much for
a
while.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good thing not to listen to it and watch it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So how was your week, sir?
My week has been good. I think I mentioned I went to a show that a friend of mine put on. Last night, took my mom along so she could appreciate it. She's a theater person, a thespian, as we say, and it was a live reading of dramatic and comedic original material. So live theater is always great, you know. And it was nice to actually go out and do something. So that was fun. We had a nice dinner together and then went to the show and saw my friend and some other friends. So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah, you know,
I like that.
It's interesting. Yeah, I think we tend to kind of overlook the therapeutic value of theater and cinema because we're immersed in it. You know, it's something we don't have to really try too hard to take advantage of or interact with. But you know, back in the day when we were, living much simpler lives, even a few hundred years ago, theater was in some cultures it was considered part of therapy. You know, you went and watched people perform plays back then because obviously television wasn't around in certain settings, and they were cathartic. You know, they helped you heal. You watched somebody go through a drama, or and that helped you put into perspective the tragedies in your life. Or, you know, you went to a comedy and that helped you release tension or stress or gain a different perspective on things. And now we're kind of inundated with it. So it seems a lot of it is, you know, admittedly not therapeutic or even, I would say, quality. But the good stuff can be very, you know, life-changing even, or at least life-affirming, I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hmm. I wonder if it was a little bit of acting out, playing out your drama, right? Watching your drama unfold on the stage before you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you
went to
go see the play, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did. That's what we saw. Mm-hmm. How are your are your clients this week? Were they cooperative? Did they take
everybody
cruise
was
or anything?
You know.
Yeah, they were.
It was good. You know, one of the things this is actually a good subject to discuss here, and I know we've discussed it several times, but it's the whole concept of going to a psychic, a reader, tarot card reader, medium, and coming to them for... it's almost like putting the responsibility on the reader to direct your life. And because there was a little bit of that. And I think, you know, it's important, again, to stress that, you know, that's not, the way I view it is that's not my responsibility as a psychic and a clairvoyant and, you know, channeling information from spirit guides for my sitters. It's about me helping you, give you information and tools in which to make decisions for yourself and for your life. You know, and also, one of the things, you know, the guides will always preface, you know, people or the sitters, they preface the information when they give it to the sitter. They always let them know, you know, sometimes the sitter will say, well, tell me what to do. That's when the guides are like, oh, no, we don't do that. We have an opinion on it. But ultimately, the decision is yours to make. This is your life, and your life is your responsibility, and you're learning. And we're here to help you and assist you in ways, you know, that we can't, being, you know, humans. And they're here to assist us, and they have an opinion on things, but we have to accept responsibility for this life. And so it kind of came up, and, you know, the person wanted to be told what to do, and the guides were absolutely not. We're not doing that with you. So I thought that was really interesting. Yeah.
Were they able to hear them?
It worked out well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I just said, were they able to hear that message that they needed to participate, not be passive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, they were. And, you know, they were able to accept that. You know, it was after a little bit of talking about it and discussing, and they finally realized, yeah, it's their responsibility. And yeah, sometimes, you know, when we get into these situations, it's very challenging. Life can be, and those decisions can be very challenging, but we have to make them. So anyway, I think that's just, you know, it's really important to kind of stress that again, that, you know, our job isn't here to tell you what to do. Because I think also, too, there are a lot of other readers out there who are too willing to give you a lot of guidance and help, in quotes. And from what I've seen, the ones that come to me, it doesn't lead well. It doesn't go in a good direction. And usually the sitter, when they come back, they're sometimes upset that they've been led down this road and it didn't go well. Well, I mean, what do you do in that instance, you know? That's what you wanted. You wanted somebody to give you direction and move you down the road and tell you what to do. And you followed it, and it didn't end up well. So whose responsibility is that now?
It's your responsibility, Michael. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think it's not uncommon for clients to come to us in a state of, you know, some level of desperation or even panic about, you know, whatever. And so, you know, or they're just exhausted and they just want to be told what to do, you know, just fix this, basically. And
I
think you're right, too. You know, they may have been to, you know, a reader or a healer before who's, you know, attempted to do that for them. And, you know, maybe they got results with that method, but it starts to get very risky with your relationship with the client when you don't encourage them to take some level of responsibility for their own process, you know, whether it's healing or discovery or, you know, introspection, understanding, whatever's going on, you know, that they came to see you for. You know, and I will say, unfortunately, some, I would call them disreputable. You know, this isn't exclusive to us either. I mean, it happens in other forms of the healing arts too, you know, doctors, therapists, you know, they make people dependent upon them in a way because they don't let them find out for themselves what they're really capable of, you know. I think most of it's done out of a, you know, a good intention, you know. You got somebody who's just like flailing and they want help and they want you to help them and you feel like you can. So that's what you offer. But, you know, if you give them everything, a recipe and a formula, and you just say, here, go off and, you know, bake this cake, they're not really going to learn much. And then if it doesn't turn out, well, two things happen. If it turns out, then they're not going to see their place in making it manifest, right? They're going to, you know, not take credit for their participation, which, you know, that isn't a good thing. And if it doesn't work out, then they're going to come back and blame you because it didn't work out and not take any responsibility, which, you know, that's definitely not a good result either. So you got to be in kind of the middle ground, I think, with people, you know.
Yeah.
Be neutral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think also, too, what's really important is with each challenging situation is a lesson for us, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's about the soul learning and growing from that. And if we don't learn that lesson, it's going to come again in a different way. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's always easier just to tell the universe, all right, help me learn my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I got it. I learned it. It's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I've been learning my lesson about, Michael?
What?
Making the disclaimer at the beginning of every show that we're just entertainers and we're not. Right? We're not here for legal, financial. No. Well, yes, we're entertainers, but we're not professionals here giving out legal, financial, political, or other kinds of advice. So.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's the disclaimer.
That is the disclaimer.
I need to learn that lesson. Yeah. Learn the disclaimer lesson more. Thank you, guys.
Right.
I got it.
Good.
I'm learning. that's funny. Well, you want to go to the phones?
I think we should go to the phones. What do you think? Should we go to the phones?
I think we should. Yeah.
Well, you're in charge, so it's your responsibility. It's your call.
I am?
Yeah.
I'm in charge?
You're in charge.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, last time I checked. Unless you don't want to be in charge, are you advocating responsibilities? Michael.
All right. Well, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Place your
bet. Here we go. We're going to the phone. Yeah. Let me go to the phone, let us know your name, where you're calling from, and your name. Speak clearly, slowly, into the phone. I have old disco ears, and they're challenged at hearing, especially on the phone. All right, so here we go. Area code 630. Hello, 630. What's your name and where you're calling from? Hello.
Hi, guys. Dion.
Hey, Dion.
Is this Dion Warwick?
It is. I was just
Hi, Dion.
You know what? You know what is cool?
What?
When they make my book a movie and I go to L.A., you know, and I do the red carpet, then I think Michael should be my plus one. So then it's like verified that you are the psychic of the stars.
Right.
Absolutely. I love that idea.
Will you be my plus one?
I will be. Yeah. Lawrence, do you want to drive us there?
Be the chauffeur. I'll be your bodyguard.
There you go.
Our designated driver.
No, we can't do that. We have to bring him along. He has to be. We have to bring both. We're a team.
Okay, so it'll be the three of us.
We have to bring the shamanic bird.
Well, it's my premiere, so I can make that happen, can't I?
Yeah,
I would think
absolutely. You're the star darling. You can do whatever you want.
I agree.
Yeah. So what's going on, Dion?
Well, today's mantra for myself was to dream big. So all day long, I have just been putting it out there as big as it can be. And that was really my question is, would you be my plus one on the red carpet? But you know what? I got better than that. I got plus two. So now it'll be all three of us.
There you go.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. So do you have any more information about moving or your next steps, Dion?
Well, I have been packing up more and focusing more on, you know, like I already have like two jobs, right? So why not just focus
mm-hmm.
more on the two jobs? So
mm-hmm.
why can't I just get to where I need to go or where I am destined to go with what I'm already doing. Why do I keep putting something in front of my already success? You know what was interesting? I got a phone call this week from somebody who purchased my book, who knew my family. And
he got
a hold of me. Yeah. He found me on YouTube. And he got a hold of me and he was like, can I talk to you about your situation? And I said, okay. And so then, like, basically he was, like, recanting some of the information that was in the book. And he was like, I remember when this happened. I remember when this happened. And he's like, and so I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, you might come in handy later when I have to prove, you know, this is the sales of the company. This is what I'm worth. And he remembered me. He remembered my dad. And so it was like confirmation, right? Because, you know, I put this stuff out there about my inheritance, and it's like people want to label me like Anna Delvey or, you know, like it's, you know, like it's a story that, you know, truth is stranger than fiction, right? But here I have somebody who just popped up out of nowhere. And he was like, I bought your book. My boss bought your book. Three other people from our company purchased your book. So I feel like I am well on my way. And I have people that are showing up now to back up my claim, to back up my story. So I've chose to just believe more in myself to reinforce that what I've already done is in motion. Why should I second guess myself and say, oh, I'm not good enough for that. I need to apply over here. Well, you know, that's not healthy.
Good for you. I think that's really good. And it's very cool that this person found you and found your book. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just somebody, right? Because, like, my family made windows. And, you know, 80% of a window is made out of glass. And this person came from a glass supplier. There's only 8 glass manufacturers in the entire world, 4 of them in the United States. His company is number 4 out of the 4 in the United States. So it is somebody who does $250 million a year in business, okay? And he knows the type of business that my father was in, that I was in, things like that. So it wasn't like some kind of, you know, it wasn't just somebody. It was somebody who knew something.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Did he say how he found your book?
Yes. So he said that he found my book when he went to one of the suppliers that I work with. I just so happened to mail them. I was working on a window project with this company, and I just so happened to put my bookmarks in the same package. Because I feel like I just need to put my bookmarks out about my book everywhere. So this person put the bookmark on his desk. And so when he came in, he saw the bookmark and asked about it. And the guy said, oh, it's so-and-so from so-and-so. So he took a picture of it. And then that prompted him to buy the book and then also forward that picture on to other people from his company. Because my dad was kind of a big deal, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's how he found it, was from my bookmark.
Nice. Yeah, well, I think, you know, what you're saying about, you know, you already have some projects that you've put a lot of effort into getting off the ground, and then you know, you get tempted to add another thing to your plate, but you're questioning that process. You know, that can be really helpful. I think it's easy to spread ourselves too thin sometimes, especially when, you know, we may be having a challenging time accepting, you know, that what we're already doing is good enough. We just need to stay committed to it and not drain our energy into something else. But that, I think part of that is just kind of challenging the fears you might have around both succeeding and what that means, and also, you know, failing and what that could be. But, you know, as long as you're learning from something, you know, my philosophy is there's not really a mistake happening there. It's a lesson or opportunity, right? You have to stay open. So good for you.
Why did Michael make you the driver? just wondering. What?
Because he's a control freak. He's got to steer us all the time. Yeah.
Well, back in the day, I used to be a driver, so that's why.
Maybe we'll all go to the El Capitan. Do you see all three of us on the red carpet? Do you see all three of us on the red carpet?
Mm-hmm.
I say yes.
And I have a caftan.
I say yes.
And I have a caftan.
Yes. Exactly. Right. No shame, self-promotion.
Exactly.
I'm going to hold you both to it, just so you know. My Friday night date, both of you. I'm going to hold you both to it.
We will clear our calendars.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. So do you have a question for us this week?
That was my question.
That was it. She slipped it under the radar.
I was inviting you secretly to my future.
Well, thank you.
And you both said yes, so thank you.
I'd be pleased to attend. That'll be fun.
It'll be a good time.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you had somebody find you who validated, you know, the material in your book and who's a part of the industry. That must be really affirming, Dion.
So. Yeah, it was really exciting because I was like, okay, now that's somebody who could back up my claim because, you know, it's just kind of weird, right? Like, what happened? But it's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, which is great for me, but at the same time, it leaves me with the burden of, like, well, can I get people on my side to come forward and speak up? And this person said, yeah, I'm in your corner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and morally, you're, you know, what happened to you wasn't correct. Like, literally the words out of his mouth was, the moral compass is broken. And so I was like, wow, you know, I felt validated for the first time in a long time because somebody
mm-hmm.
who didn't even know me but kind of knew me was, like, willing to, like, step up to the plate, which meant a lot. You know, like, that wasn't a fleeting thought for me. That was a big deal.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, before you go, you should share the title of your book again for our listeners in case they want to check it out for themselves.
Okay, thank you. The name of my book is called Shattered Windows, and I published it under my pen name, Stella Rose.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really love you guys.
Likewise. Thank you, Dion.
Our biggest
thank
fan.
You.
I'll be back.
I'm going to go get my tuxedo out of the mothballs and get it pressed. Get it ready. So.
Yeah. I like the name, Stella Rose.
Very classy.
Yeah. Isn't that a character in a movie? Stella Rose?
If it isn't,
correctly. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Sorry. All right. Should we take another call, sir?
I think we should.
All right. Well, here we go. Area
okay.
code 929. What's your name and where are you calling from? Bonjour. Hello? Hello? We can't hear you very well.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, there you are. Hello.
Oh, hey. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
Good.
Well, well
what's
thank
your
you.
Name?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well this Friday evening.
What's your name? And where are you calling from?
My name is Teresa, and I'm calling from New York.
Well, hi, Teresa.
Hello, New York.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how can we help you?
Okay, someone actually referred me to speak with you guys. They said that you're a very good psychic.
I did.
You know,
I like that.
Yes, yes.
Who's
mm-hmm.
they? Who are these
they?
Oh,
no, the person, Shelly.
Shelly
Hoffman. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Shelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and she said that you are very, very good psychic, that you two are very good psychics. So she told me
right.
next time when your show is on a radio to give you guys a call.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Shout out to Shelly. Good for her. Well, you made it.
Yes.
Very good, Teresa.
Thank you. So I'm calling. I just started getting resumes out on Thursday. So I just wanted I just started getting them out on this Thursday, and I plan to get more out on Monday. And I'm getting out about 30 resumes.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, do you see me going on any job interviews in the month of September? Or do you see me going on job interviews at the beginning of October? Because there's a specific job that I want.
What's that? What's the specific job?
It's working in the music business entertainment.
Uh-huh.
So, and I have other, you have one more job just as a backup, but I'm optimistic.
Let's see.
I should be enough. Okay.
Give me a second here, because I'm getting a few things. So the images I'm getting, Teresa,
yes.
are so I'm kind of getting a few things here. So I just want to make sure. Let me kind of just run this by you. I keep seeing a choir. Do you work with choirs?
No, but I probably could be once if I get into this, get the job that I want. I could.
So I keep seeing choirs, so that's one thing. And then I saw a recording studio.
Okay.
I keep seeing that. Are you working in the recording studio? Is that what that is?
No, I would go in as an administrative assistant and then climb my way up in the company.
Well, then
I would
guess,
start out as a...
I guess, okay. I guess this is like into the future then, right? Because I kept seeing inside the studio. Like working at the control panel and really being in charge of the music and the sound, all of that. And then I kept seeing choirs.
Hmm.
And you working with the choirs. That's what I see. So that's what I first saw.
Sounds good.
And I'm getting that, yeah, and I'm getting that it's important to when you do get your foot in the door, that you hold on to that vision, right? And it's not just about doing the administrative work and landing there, but that use that as the stepping stone to start doing the work that you want to do, which it feels like it's making music.
And I do write songs, so yes, I do write music.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, hold on to that. Hold on to that vision and continue to push forward. And again, when you get your foot in the door, it's a stepping stone. It's not a landing pad. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Lawrence, how about you? You have anything for Teresa?
I think so. You know, you wanted to know about getting some interviews next month and in October, Teresa. I do think you're going to have some opportunities to interview, and I think you've got a pretty good opportunity also to advance secure at least one of the jobs that you're angling for. You know, a couple of things came up for me. One was, you know, my guides were wanting to know if you'd be willing to relocate or move eventually, maybe not right away, but I think they're hinting that there's going to be an opportunity for you to advance after you secure your position, maybe in the next year or two, but it likely will require you to move. And what they were saying was actually to move to the West Coast. So something to keep in mind if you're open to
it. I'm definitely open to it.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to have that get presented to you as an offer. So, you know, the other thing kind of to piggyback on what Michael was saying, have you done any producing, like for other recording artists or anything? Do you do that kind of work?
No. I could because I songwrite, and majority of my songs, I have them recorded, for example, on my iPad.
Uh-huh.
So I would love to work with the right music artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think Michael was saying about foot in the door. I think, you know, you're going to have some opportunities presented to you to work with some producers who really know their stuff. They know what they're doing. And maybe a genre that you're not particularly familiar with or even one that you like necessarily, but I would definitely also avail yourself of that, you know, those opportunities to get in and get some studio time, even if all you're doing is observing and they're willing to let you do that. But I do think you're going to have, you know, a few opportunities to essentially get mentored by people who are going to see the abilities that you have to actually do some production work. So, you know, something a little more creative than maybe what your original intention is. But I think that, you know, you want to be make yourself available for those opportunities when they show up, and don't miss them, don't negate them, and don't tell yourself that you're not ready or that, you know, this is something that's beyond what your abilities are. Because I think you've got a lot of creative potential to really advance. And the only thing holding you back is really just kind of your own, you know, I would say sort of self-talk that's a little bit dismissive of your abilities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's more that I think you're really overly modest, I guess, is maybe a better way of characterizing it about yourself. And, you know, the music industry isn't full of overly modest people. It's full of the opposite. So I would get really used to, you know, in the next month or two, bragging about yourself, even if it feels like you're exaggerating, but really just, you know, taking a look at your resume, you know, adding a bunch of adjectives or having somebody that you really trust kind of go over things with you and pump up the volume on things, because you need to make yourself stand out, and you do authentically mm-hmm. have some pretty unique qualities, and you know, you're also just a really nice person, so you're totally a team player, which means you let other people shine, which I think is going to serve you really well. But I think the other thing that you should go along with that is for you to really start talking about yourself in superlatives, and you know, just telling the people that you're going to come in contact with how much you have to offer and why, and get used to having that elevator pitch at your fingertips, so when somebody takes an interest in you, you can, you know, really sink your teeth into them and say, hey, this is why I should be involved in your next project, or this is what I have to offer for the thing that you're working on, or hey, I'm really interested in this and I know you do this, so let's see if we can't, you know, work together in some way. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, yes. Oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. I feel like crying, believe it or not. Based off the information that you said, yes, you are 100% right, and I do need to get out of my own way. My public mm-hmm. speaking teacher told me that, and mm-hmm. there is a and there was another psychic that I normally go to here in New York City. She told me the uh-huh. same thing. Yes, mm-hmm. so you're right. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I am on the right path. And what I'll do with you soon, once I get everything in motion, I'll do a reading with you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, we both are really open yes. to getting good clients. Yeah, well, I think you're right. You know, what you know, we're picking up on, Michael and I, is that, you know, you just you kind of have this slow burn going on, and you need to add some rocket fuel to the mix, and you're the one who's in control of that, Teresa. So it's not really like, you know, no more Mr. Nice Guy, mm-hmm. which is a really good, maybe your theme song in a way. Because I think you're afraid to you know, that you're just a really sensitive person, so you know when people are hurt, and you know how it feels to be hurt, so you don't want to be that person. But I really don't think you have to worry about that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you just need to focus on putting your best self forward at every single opportunity, even if it feels like, you know, you're just hamming it up, or really, you know, like I was saying, exaggerating, or, you know, telling your story over and over again. You just, you know, you need to make sure people notice you. Like, you can't afford to be a wallflower anymore. Like, this is your shot, and you need to, yeah. you know, you need to steal the show. You really do. Like, even if it feels like you're taking over, that's a good sign. It, you know, when you feel like you're out of your comfort zone because you're talking about yourself too much, then you'll know you're on the right track for sure. So.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. So, yes.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Sounds good. And you're
yeah,
right. I definitely.
That's fantastic.
I'm sorry. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely
yeah,
need to take myself out of that comfort zone.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Well, wow.
Well,
you
we wish you all the best, Teresa.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and can I just ask one more question regarding which company it might be? Because there are three different companies. What I actually like, it's a company, one company starts with the letter S, there's another company starts with the letter U, and the third company starts with the letter W. I like the company U, that starts with the company, I mean, with the first initial U, but it's, I don't know. I know two of the companies may call, but when they both call, I can always get a reading with you guys, a personal reading.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting the U.
That's okay. The U.
U
okay.
Yeah. U and W. Yeah. But I feel a stronger pull W first and then U.
Oh, okay. Ah, all right.
Yeah, I don't feel much of W is 1, U is 2, and S is 3.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
So,
yeah.
All right, so I know exactly what to do now.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
I'm also Go ahead.
So, I was just going to pipe in. Yeah, W is what comes up most strongly for me, Teresa. So what were you going to say, Michael?
I was, as I was focusing on this, your guides are saying, Teresa, to really aim for the stars, really step out of your comfort zone here and really push beyond the boundaries so that, you know, you can, you know, do what you want, what you really want to be doing and operating in that area, the boundaries of your gifts.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so I know exactly what to do. So what I'm going to do over the weekend is prepare my cover letter for the company that begins with the letter W. And I know they have about, they have five job positions that I, that my background qualifies me for. So I'll get, I'll apply for each one of those job positions. Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And also too, your guides are saying, really continue to write the music.
Okay.
Continue to write the songs. Put all this together. Don't stop. Yeah. You need to. And do you play the piano or organ?
You know what? I was actually going to learn to play the piano. So that way when I introduce a song to a music artist, I already have it. I'm, you know, I can play what's in my head. So that way the music producer, he can actually follow from off the piano, the piano music.
Right. Yeah, you need to be doing that. Because also, too, it's kind of like, right, you can hear the song a little better in your head by playing the tunes on the piano. And like you said, you can convey what you're hearing to somebody by playing it on the piano.
Okay.
Start taking some classes.
Oh, yes. I'm just waiting to do a move.
Busy.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And what I can, okay, so I'll start looking for a piano teacher to get everything into motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to add. Oh, go ahead, Michael. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, Teresa, I think a big component of what has kept you from really achieving the success that you deserve is your relationship with fear. And you know, there's a lot we could say about it, but just in a nutshell, I think what would be helpful is for you to recognize what I would just characterize as productive fear versus paralyzing fear. And so, you know, when you're trying, when you're stretching yourself and you're, you know, pushing yourself at your limits, like maybe part of this job application process is coming up for you, you want to learn to recognize when the fear that's coming up for you is fear that's keeping you from testing yourself and taking risks and going beyond your limits to see what's on the other side, and the fear that's like protecting you or keeping you from harm, right? Because they can kind of seem like the same thing, because we're not really, you know, we don't really talk about fear as a constructive thing in our culture. Usually it's just something that, you know, oh, I'm afraid, you know, I don't want to be afraid, so I'm going to go away from it. But the next time fear comes up for you, like when you really authentically feel fearful, whenever that is, maybe it's during an interview or, you know, something comes up and you think about it and you think, oh, you know, I'm afraid to do that. I want you to take a moment and recognize that and then ask yourself and really ask the fear that you're feeling a question something along the lines of, what do you have to teach me? Or what's the opportunity here that the fear is masking from me, and how can that be revealed? Something so that you're engaging with that feeling and not trying to stuff it or put it away or run from it, but you're actually engaging with it in a constructive way so that it can start, you know, teaching you about how to excel no matter what is going on with you, whether you're fearful or discouraged or, you know, people are dismissing you, whatever. You can start developing, because you already are really resourceful, you want to also add your resiliency and ability to persist to that. And I think this is, you know, just kind of a basic way to kind of start initiating that process for you. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Good.
So
good.
This reading has been very helpful. You will be hearing from me. I will be setting up a private reading. Just give me about a week or two to get everything together, but I will be calling you back.
Fantastic. Well, good luck to you, Teresa. I'm very excited for you.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much, okay? I'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome.
All right.
Okay, Shelley.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, guess what time it is, sir?
It's time for you to give me that $20 you owe me.
I sent the check. Should be getting there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight.
Sure.
Check your mailbox. Right. Check your mailbox.
Okay.
Well,
I've heard that one before.
I want to thank you. Right? I want to thank everybody for joining us on the show. It's been a lot of fun again. And I want to thank, a big thank you to my co-host, Mr. Laurence Birch, the Birchmeister, for being here. And thank you for your great reading, sir. And, of course, thank you to the spirits. The spirit guides for showing up and helping us and giving us information. And would you like to take us out, sir?
Yeah, but not before you tell people how they can connect with you directly. I think that's important. It should be a wonderful reading.
Yeah. You can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com. You can schedule a session there or just contact me. How about you, sir?
Awesome. Well, yeah, you can contact me at 541-344-7534, call or text. You can also contact me via my email at givingtree@earthlink.net. And you can also check out my website, which is givingtreefarm.com, because I also do herbal things, as some people know. So, many options. Yeah. Well, I want to thank my co-host, because Michael's just a wonderful guy in general. And in particular, he's an amazing psychic, as we know, psychic to the star. So it's a pleasure to be on the show with him every week, and a privilege. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to have all these wonderful listeners, have them become our regular listeners and fans and our clients. So we're really blessed. And we hope you come back and listen to us regularly every week. We also have a ton of archive shows. If you're ever feeling like, calm down. The house band gets excited sometimes. Anyway, I was just going to say, you can always listen to us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, whatever podcast platform, we're there. So take us with you wherever you go. Never miss a show and start following us. And we'll build a spiritual relationship of healing together. How's that? All right.
Love it. Well, good night, everybody. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you back here next week, Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific time at the Psychic Fund.
So long, Amico.
Au revoir.
Thank
so
you.
Long.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.